and then send messages back. And so behind the lodge, you'll see that, you know, the dovecot is still there. I think it's used to store, you know, lawnmowers and something like that. But at that time, that was very serious because that's where the pigeons would roost. And they would be trained to go down to the boat. And I don't remember what happened, if they all came back to Holden Village or they all went down to the boat. But it didn't work out as it was planned. Another experiment was raising trout in the sauna, the river sauna pond. And they were raising trout down there. And I remember the trout chow because I'd work and then we'd have to throw in trout chow. I don't know if people would, you know, go in that when they really had taken a sauna, go in the trout pond. But they also had mounted over, and this was a very good idea. I don't know who on the board suggested this, but they had a bug zapper mounted over the trout pound. And so the bugs would get zapped and drop down for food. And that might have been a way of saving, you know, trout chow. But I think I was there at the last day when I was working in the kitchen. I used to volunteer. I was a guest, but I volunteered. I can't, as a converted Lutheran, I can't sit around on my hands. I got to work. So my wife took care of the kids. I went in the kitchen, and that was the morning we fried up 400 trout because they ended that experiment. Another one was the water wheel. There was all this water coming off of the tailings, off of the holding pond, and it went through the generator, but then there was water there, so why couldn't we use that? So I went up there many times. They were making this water wheel between Koinonia and the carpenter shop, and they first built it, and I thought, that's great. And finally, they got it up there, also by the river sauna, and a little generator, and it wasn't quite steady. It was a little bit off some way, I don't know. But it had a mill race, and the water came down, and this would creak, and then the little generator would create power. I'm not sure what the power was for, but anyway, it created power, and then pretty soon, each time when I'd come, it'd be a little more, maybe parts taken off of it, and the generator taken off of it. But gradually, that... never heard about anything, and maybe Larry would know if it's in the history pictures of it. Another one was the coils up on the roof of Agape, the water coils that worked for a while, and I'm sure they would warm water in the sun, but then when they froze, it was not too good an idea. And so that didn't work out. Another one was Holden Hilarity. And my wife and I rode up on the boat, the Holden Hilarity. And this was a double-wide Boston Whaler with a cover on it. And, wow, it was really comfy in there. And you could talk to these other people, and they knew what you were talking about. But for some reason, the Holden Hilarity came and went. And I don't know, maybe Larry also, as a historian, knows about the Holden Hilarity. But anyway, I'll leave you with two things that I got off tapes. Leo Bustad was a veterinarian, head of the veterinary school at WSU. And I heard these two tapes one day. And Leo Bustad, his name must be Norwegian, Bustad. But anyway, he said there was a Norwegian leading a pig on a leash. And the Swede came up to him and said, "Where'd you get him?" And the pig said, "I won him in a raffle." And there was another one. This Norwegian was in a bar, and he said to the Swede next to him, If you can tell me how many chickens I have in the sack, I'll give them both to you.
More stories, but I just wanted to mention we have a slight medical issue in the room next door, and they are probably going to bringing Mark, one of our Holden folks, through the hallway out the back door. And so heads up to that. If you had children in that room, we have migrated them upstairs to another room so they didn't have to be a part of that. So that's just a heads up. I think it would be best if we continued on, and he's being cared for well. But you can send a quick prayer for Mark. All right, we'll let the mic time continue.
Hi, my name is Eric Prine, and I'm here to tell you how Holden changed my life. I was introduced to Holden in the mid-90s by friends at Lord of Life Lutheran Church, where I was then a member. Larry and Louise Johnson, who are here tonight, were part of the group that introduced me to Holden. In August 1998, I had just returned from a week at Holden with the Lord of Life group, and I went to a party at a home of a friend in northeast Seattle. I was later told that I was wearing ratty shorts and ratty Teva sandals and a Holden t-shirt. And I went into the kitchen of this house, a very crowded house, and this beautiful woman came up to me. I'd never seen her before, and she said, "How do you know Holden?" And so we started talking, and it turned out that she had been going to Holden since the late 80s, had been on teaching staff, and we talked for most of the rest of the evening. A few days later, I found her number in the phone book and gave her a call and asked her out. We were married 2 years later. In August of 2000, and we've talked about that, our meeting, on numerous occasions since, and we realized that because we knew right away that Holden was important to us, we already knew a lot about each other that ordinarily you'd have to learn later on in a relationship, but that was just evident to us from the start. And she is back in the corner, the woman with the very red face. Thank you.
I'll follow up with a love and marriage story. I'm Jana Schofield, and my husband, Michael Eisensee, and I were married at Holden on June 16th, 2001. And our wedding was on the Ark, and it was the Vesper service for the day, so we also had Eucharist. And kind of like this, the altar was set with the bread and the wine. And all of a sudden, halfway through the service, a chipmunk came up to the altar and started eating the communion bread. And so almost all of our pictures and our video of our wedding is the sacristan going shoo, shoo, shoo. So that was our lovely memory of Holden. But we too, that's why we chose to get married there. We thought everything about what we believe and what is grounded in us is represented at Holden. So it was a wonderful way to start our marriage.
I'm Dale Jampgard. How many of you have come over the hill to see the boat leaving the dock? 1972, Carol Hinderly took great pride in having the most provocative and profound theologians on the faculty. I said, "But you need to have a course about where the rubber hits the road. Would you want someone to teach a stress management course?" So finally he said, "Well, okay." So I was arriving for my first chance to be on the faculty, and he stressed, "Be there for that meeting on Sunday morning, because we planned the whole week at that time." And the boat left the dock. So I said, "Is there any other boat?" And the people there said, "Well, no." So I drove down the coast a ways, and I said, I stopped at a resort. I said, does anyone have a boat? And they're going up the lake. I thought maybe some vacationers were going. No. Went to another resort. Is there anyone that might have a boat going? I've got to get up there. Nope. Finally, the third resort, someone said, well, there is a boat going up. There's a guy who takes a boat and goes up to the campsite and picks up the garbage. And he goes up empty and comes back full. We had four kids and 3 weeks worth of luggage, and we loaded it all on the boat. The kids sat on top of the luggage, and up we went. And I arrived on the dock, and when the boat, the bus came down from Holden Village, and they saw us standing there saying, how did you get here?
Hi, my name is Cara Coelho, and I can't talk about Holden without talking about my parents. They came up in the early 60s and with a bunch of Lutherligers and were not married at the time. And Carol Hinderly saw them walking down the street together and said, those two are going to get married someday. And thank God they did. My dad led up several groups and introduced Holden to hundreds of people. He was on the board for 24 years and kept trying to get off of it. And they kept saying, no, Bob, we need you. And he loved when he actually finally was off the board because he finally got to go to all the sessions that we got to go to. But what he loved the most was sitting out on the ark with his cup of coffee, waiting for the board to get out. Because as soon as they did, the first thing they did was run up to him and go, Bob, what do you think of this? So he still got to give his opinion, but he didn't have to sit through the meetings. It was great. Holden has meant so much to our family. My mom's 50th birthday was at Holden Lake. We had salmon. It was excellent. And six bottles of wine up there. And a watermelon. And my dad's ashes are scattered at 10 Mile. And there's just, my daughter was baptized there. There's been a lot of memories. I've been going since 1970 and haven't missed a year. So I'm so glad you're all here. I'm so glad that I get to share Holden with all of you, and hopefully we get to keep sharing it with more. Thank you.
My name's Jack Seifert. I first went to Holden in 1981, and you may know me as Mr. Rogers from that time. I enjoyed Holden so much that my first off, my parents, they thought, oh, what are you doing there? It's anyway, they had a bad opinion, not knowing anything about it. But once I came back, then they, you know, my dad and my mom, they both loved going there. And if you ever met my dad, Cliff Seifert, or you would have known it because he was this big, booming voice with a Texas accent. And he was just engaged to anybody that he was with. But there was one time in Chile 1, Will Smith was giving a little talk that happened to be on his dissertation. And it couldn't have been a more boring subject. I don't even remember what it was. And my dad was the last one to come into the living room there of Chalet 1, and it was packed. It was to the gills, and there was one spot left, and it was right in front. And my dad, he started out sitting, but he couldn't sit very well, and then he, like, laid down, and he put his head on his arm, and pretty much he's horizontal, and it didn't take long for him to be snoring. And Will kept going, and, you know, everybody tried to maintain the presence, but all the mavericks that he worked with are on the outside were just, like, grinning and giggling and keeping their mouths shut. And Will finished his lecture, and everybody started moving. My dad, he, like, woke up like nothing happened and was not the wiser. And then later on, his fellow mavericks were ribbing him. He says, you know, you fell asleep during that? And he was like, no, I didn't. He didn't believe them. He thought they were just kidding him. But he later found out that it was true. And so then at staff meeting, when everyone was leaving, he got real emotional, and he said, I've got something to pray about, and it can't wait till Sunday. Can we pray about it now? And his voice was cracking, and he said, Lord, forgive those of us who have fallen asleep during these lectures as we forgive those who have made us fall asleep.
My name is Roseanne Martinez, and from 0204, I was the staffing coordinator, one of the staff coordinators. And what we like to tell people is that in many ways, Holden is a lot like the world. And we had staffing issues and things that we had to deal with that weren't always pleasant. And one year, we had to discipline a large group of staff, and they had to leave for, I think it was for about a month, and it was during May Youth Weekends. And unfortunately, I think all of them but one were kitchen staff. So as staff coordinator, we had to rally, pull people that were gifted in laundry into the kitchen and in other areas. And we had May Youth Weekends. So it was very crowded on the weekend. And we were in the kitchen fixing beans, pinto beans, this big vat. And it kept foaming up, and people kept going, well, let's put more oil in it. They put more oil in the beans, and it was foaming up. And then someone said, what? Someone realized that we were putting mop soap in the beans. And I don't know if this still is at Holden, but the mop soap container and the oil container looked exactly the same. So if you've worked in the dish pit where the mop sink is, somebody had left the mop soap kind of in the way. So someone else walking by said, oh, look, someone put the oil here. That's stupid. And took it and put it in the bakery. So we were adding oil to the beans. So we figured that out. And then we realized we had baked the morning bread with mop soap. And we just finished making 200 sandwiches, and they had gone down lake with the Mason, our Manson Middle School kids. So we were in a panic. Somebody wanted to quickly go up and announce it, and no, quick, get Janet. And we then got the nurse to check out the recipe and realize that 1 cup, 2 cups, 3 cups of mop soap in a batch of bread really doesn't matter that much. So we never told the school kids that they ate sandwiches with mop soap.
Hello, I'm Carlos Aguero, and Bob Norton and I were up at Holden Work Week, I think 3 or 4 years ago. We were working on putting a new shed roof on the hydro plant, and we were called off that project to go up the hill to where there's these buses. These buses are where they put the garbage that's going to go out, and they store it there for a long time. Well, a bear had gotten into, broken the windows on the bus and taken a lot of the garbage out, so we were told, since we had roofing material, to go up on the bus and put the roofing material on the windows. So we went up there, and there was garbage everywhere. It was a real big mess. And we got ladders, because the buses were on a steep cliff. We got ladders and went up there and patched all the windows. And the next day, we went back up there, because somebody told us, there's a bear in that bus. We locked the bear in the bus. And he jumped out at us just as we arrived there.
My name is Otto, and I have been to Holden many times and enjoyed it every time. My wife sends me with a little story. A friend of ours who live in Ballard, that's the part of Seattle, where many Scandinavians reside. She went to the grocery store where she met a young man who was wearing a sweatshirt with a Holden logo. She struck up a conversation, talking about her experiences at Holden Village, and they had some good laughs. They conversed for a while. While she was there, it appeared to her that maybe the young man didn't quite comprehend what she was talking about. By the way, when were you at Holden? Oh, he said, actually, I've never been to Holden. But ever since I had this T-shirt, which I bought at a garage sale, I have had so many friends.
This story isn't that funny, but it's one of those mysterious things that happen at Holden, and nobody really knows why. I'm Maya, and I was one of the pastors from 98 to 2000, and I would come to the podium often and have to stand on this ridiculous, like this. Exactly, what are we doing? What's going on? We've got technology, we've got hands, we can do this. So I'd have to stand on this little stool because it was just high enough for me to look like I was tiny. Well, I am tiny, but it made me look like I was about five, you know, and I kept looking, and I thought, why do mostly women and then the kid, you know, like, why is this that we all have to stand on this step, and then you have to move it away, and it's just embarrassing. So it took me a while to kind of get my mind around this, but then I figured out how things work at Holden. And a very generous man one time just said, you know, he needed something to do. He was a guest, and he knew how to work tools, and he wanted to help me. And he goes, do you have any jobs? You know, you must have been a good church man. He was like, do you have any jobs, Pastor? And I said, well, actually, I do. And I said, you know, that podium, don't tell anybody, but take like about an inch and a half or 2 inches off and just tell no one. And he did, and I never had to stand on it again.
I'm Janice Gockel. For those of you that know Larry and me, you know that we usually show up at Holden with instruments. So the one time we got up there, we're getting off the bus, and this couple, we had never met them, but we're getting off the bus, like on, I think, Monday, and she says, oh, instruments, we need you. We're getting married on Friday. And we're going, Lordy, what music do we have for... You know, well, we've probably got some violin and recorder music. Well, we'll figure out something. Well, as luck would have it, the next day, Christiana Lundholm arrived. Okay, so then we had, Larry actually had his cello along, so we went, we can do trio sonatas, and we brought some trio sonatas. So they said, we don't care what it is, you know, we just need some prelude music and so forth. So the wedding was... typically out on the Ark, and they put the trio then up on the porch, you know, and that way the sound carried a little better as well. So we're sitting there, and it's, you know, it's a neat service, and quite a few people are in Holden formal and so on. But at any rate, Larry's sitting there, and he's looking at this rope, and he's thinking, you know, I never get to pull that rope because the kids always pull the rope. So, of course, we just waited for the I now pronounce you husband and wife. Ding, ding, ding. And at first, everybody kind of and looked up, and then it was like all over. I don't know if they've done it other times, but it was choice that time.
Hi, I'm Lori, and I served up in the village from 1995 through 1997 in the kitchen. And I'm going to tell a couple J-term stories. For those of you who have lived there, you know about J-term. But in January, a group of college kids from either PLU or Luther or St. Olaf would come up for the month. And by January, those of us who lived there in the winter would be kind of desperate for some new entertainment. And so it was fun to pull some pranks. And I was coming in with one of the groups on the as they were coming in, and there's this girl sitting there, and she just looks scared to death. And she looked over at me, and she goes, "Do you live up there?" I said, "Yeah, I live up here." And she said, "Are you getting off at Holden?" It's like, well, that's, yeah, I'm getting off at Holden. So as the kids are coming off the bus, we were handing out rolls of toilet paper. And everyone got a roll of toilet paper on a string to wear around their neck. And we informed them that the barge run hadn't happened, or they'd forgot, I don't remember the story, but that this was their toilet paper for about the next 3 weeks. That so, and so we had all these kids writing letters home for toilet paper because, well, they caught on later on, they caught on that it was a prank. And so those of us who lived in the village, and especially if you worked in the kitchen, started noticing that the dining room chairs, we're missing some chairs. They just started to disappear. You know, two or three here, three or four here. And we get to dinner one night, and there's literally like a table with eight chairs around it, and that was it. And so it's like, okay, guys, we need the chairs. No one sees the chairs. And so we figured out the chairs have got to be in Lodge 6 somewhere, because that's where they housed all the people. So one night, I don't remember, Mark could probably explain how they did this better than I could. Somehow they detached the fire alarm system from the rest of the village, and so it only went off in Lodge 6. And there was a group of, I don't know how many of you guys got into full gear, six or eight guys, set the alarm off, and they just went barreling down the hall of Lodge 6 where all these J-Terms kids were, scared the living daylights out of them. But we got the chairs back.
Hi, I'm Tom, and this is another Holden-related love story, I guess. It was New Year's Eve 2004 that I met Barbara, and we actually talked about Holden that evening after a play that we saw, and we continued to talk about it as we got to know each other. And by the way, I can tell this story because she's not here tonight. Unfortunately, she's under the weather at home, but anyway, she was working as an editor at Microsoft Press at the time and getting really burned out on her job. She knew she had to do something, but didn't know what. And I said, "Okay, you've never been to Holden. Let's go up to Holden for a long weekend, and maybe you can get your head straight about what you want to do." So we did. And on the bus, on the way down, I asked her, "So did this help get your head straight about things?" She said, "Well, you know, it was really good to get away, but I really didn't come up with anything." So we get down to the boat landing. Ed Short's driving the bus, and he says, "People find out about Holden by word of mouth. To help you spread the word, we have these little pamphlets. Please take one if you'd like." So we did, sat down on the rocks waiting for the boat to come. We open it up, staring Barbara in the face. Now remember, she was an editor at Microsoft Press. Staring her in the face, long-term staff position opening, publications coordinator. Whoa. So on the boat, on the way down, she's flip-flopping. She's saying, "I couldn't possibly do that. What would I do with my townhouse? What would I do with my car? Hey, I could do that. That'd be really cool. What about medical insurance? Do they have medical insurance? I couldn't do that if I didn't have that. Gee, I could find some way. Maybe I could do that." And I said, "You know, we'll get down to the boat landing at Fields Point, and there'll probably be somebody there that's been on staff and can tell you, answer a lot of your questions." And sure enough, Jackie McDonald was there, and Jackie told Barbara straight up all the answers. So she put in an application, and I think it was 3 weeks after the first time she'd ever been to Holden, she was on long-term staff for a year. And I was her down lake. That was before they had gotten email. Actually, they got email during the time she was there. But I was her down lake secretary, appointment coordinator. She needed a haircut. She'd call me and give me a message and say, make an appointment for me. So I guess it took, because we got married just over a year ago now. Holden helped us with that, I think.
Good evening. If you see Nancy eyeing the communion bread a little suspiciously tonight, those who were there at her last Eucharist a year ago, a little over a year ago, remember that she went to break the bread, struggled, found out the bakers had baked a stick in it so it wouldn't break. Fortunately, they had a second loaf in reserve, so they were able to go ahead and finish off the communion, but you could see from the look on her face she smelled a rat once she realized it wouldn't break.
Well, while we're talking about bread, once one winter when I was up there, there was going to be a baptism. And the kitchen cooked up a nice loaf of bread in the shape of a baby. So Susan Beale held up the baby and tore off its leg.
I'm just wondering if there is anyone here who at one point was the proud owner of a Volkswagen Bug, who had parked it alongside the road at 25 Mile Creek in the late 70s or early 80s during fire season, and a helicopter dipped down with a big bucket, picked up a load of water, flying back. Oops, the bucket landed on the Volkswagen Bug. Anybody here lose a bug back in 78, 79? Guess not.
So I'm kind of like Maya. I need some carpentry done. I'm Amy Griman Carlson, and I have lots of stories, but I'm not in the mood, so I'm not going to tell you any. But we, at our table, we have a question. We would like anyone in the room, and everyone, who met their spouse or their best friend at Holden to stand up. Need I say more?
Yeah, I've got the Maya problem too. I'm Karen Edwards, and my husband Robert and I have been on long-term staff and short-term staff, and our daughter went to high school there for 2 years after we'd been on staff. But anyway, the funniest story that I personally have with Karen Tilbury, we were hiking up to Holden Lake, and we're hiking up the trail, and up behind us, we hear footsteps, and we turn around, and it's two guys. All the guys have on are their hiking boots and hats. And if any of you are in the room, sorry. I mean, they just go trucking on by us up to Holden Lake, and we look at each other. We're almost there. We're going to Holden Lake. So we get up to Holden Lake, and we have our picnic lunch, and we really wanted to go around the other side of the lake to get on the rocks, you know, where the marmots are and stuff. But we know those guys had gone that way. We said, we're going. We're just going to go. So we get on the trail. We're going around the lake. And here they are, laying on their backs in the heather, still only hiking boots and hats. But now they're smoking bubble pipes. And the bubbles are going up. And we're walking by trying not to look at these two naked men. And they say, hi, how's your day? And it's fine. We went on back to the rocks, did our thing, didn't see them again. But the next day, the bus went down the lake, and there were bubbles coming out of the back window.
I wonder if some of you remember the ranger woman who used to be at the dock and would boss everybody and tell everybody when to stand and when to get on the bus. Do you remember her? And I forgot her name. What?
Lorraine.
Lorraine. Yeah, she came up to the village once. And then after she'd been at the village for a day, I asked her why she came up. And she said, I wanted to find out why everybody was so happy. And then another time, I met her down at the boat when I was village pastor. And she said, I want to be baptized. And I said, oh, come on up and we'll share some stories and learn about baptism. And she was all happy about it. So she came up and we had baptism preparation. And I asked her what led her to baptism. She said people were always kind of grumpy going up to the village and they were so happy when they came down. I decided I better go up there and find out what this is all about. So the baptism was at the evening Eucharist of Lorraine, and she, I baptized her, or tried to, but she had her head too far down so I couldn't get the water up. So she stood up and said, you hardly got me wet. And then I said, Lorraine, put your head down once more, but leave me some room to get my hand out to get the water on your head, which she did. And then she was so happy and so thankful for the village and what the village had meant to her. And that's my story of Lorraine.
During the winter of 1979-80, my husband and I were on staff, and John and Mary Schramm were the directors, and I worked in the kitchen. The head cook that winter was David Christian, who had spent many years in Hong Kong and was a really good cook of Chinese food. So one dark winter evening, we decided to have a Chinese feast and make fortune cookies. And so that led to, what do you put in the fortunes? So we arranged that. We got them all done. We served the meal. And at one of the tables, John and Mary were seated, and we arranged that they got their cookies first, and, you know, maybe John should open his first, which he did, and, oh, his fortune was, go kiss Mary Schramm. So he did, and then everyone else at the table, it, go kiss Mary Schramm.
Good evening. My name is John Reed. I'm the president at Trinity Lutheran College, and I want to welcome all of you. It's too bad it's at the end of the program and evening, but thank you for being at Trinity, for your board meeting, and for your meetings today, and we're really delighted that you were on the new campus in Everett, so I want to thank you for that. I don't have a lot of funny stories about Holden because I've only been there once, but I'm excited about going back. I became the president at Trinity. I think they voted me in like the third week of May, and by the second week of June, I was headed to Holden. So I thought that said a lot about the importance of this. Trinity, we wanted to give you some type of gift that we thought would be meaningful to kind of celebrate this 50th anniversary. And Josh Post, who's a member of our board and a member of your board, came up with, a great idea. So I'm going to let Josh kind of explain it, and then we'll give you your gift.
Thank you. So about 6 months ago, somebody was telling me about something that they believed was maybe in the Trinity Lutheran College archives. And so I actually went looking for it. I went through the archive list and found this box that I thought may have this thing in it. I couldn't find it. But what I did find was a file folder that I opened up and looked at it, and I found the original letters from the Howe Sound Mine Company to the Lutheran Bible Institute, giving the gift of Holden Village to the Lutheran Bible Institute, along with other correspondence between President E.V. Stein of Lutheran Bible Institute and Wes Priebe and the mine company. And so we decided that it would be a great idea to give the original letter gifting Holden Village to the Lutheran Bible Institute and the Lutheran Church, and we've had it framed. And Chuck and Steph, why don't you come up here too? And I'll read here what we've had. We've put an inscription here at the bottom. And in big letters, it says, "The Gift." And it says, "Original letter from Howe Sound Company gifting Holden Village to the Lutheran Bible Institute of Seattle. Presented to the Holden Village Board of Directors by Trinity Lutheran College in honor of Holden's 50th anniversary and to celebrate our continued partnership, November 12th, 2011. I will also read the letter, because this letter really shows, the true, from the start, that Holden was a gift, and just the uniqueness of this and the unique character of Wes Priebe, as you'll see in the last paragraph, from the Howe Sound Mine Company. And know that when the Howe Sound Mine Company was writing this letter, they believed that Wes Priebe was probably the president or, they had no idea that he was a student who wrote these letters with nobody knowing from the Lutheran Bible Institute that he was asking. That's obvious here. Dated June 23rd, 1960. Dear Mr. Priebe, your letter of June 9th, 1960, addressed to Mr. Kirkland, was received in this office today. We note your interest in the Holden Village. This letter, therefore, transfers title of the Holden Village, together with the dock at Lucerne, as well as all real estate and mineral claims heretofore owned by the Howe Sound Company at Holden, Washington, to you. We are ready to sign any other legal document necessary to complete this transaction. I regret that we do not have a road grader or a 200 kilowatt generator to donate. Likewise, that the tug has been sold. The Chelan dock and property are not available, nor are they included in this gift. Very sincerely yours, F.A. McGonigal, Vice President.
Can continuing on with the gift theme, we also would like to present something to Trinity Lutheran College. But first, this is awesome. Wow. What a great, great thing to bring up to the Valley, especially in our 50th year. It's kind of very, very special. Thank you for thinking of the Holden community. Well received. Thank you. And I have to say that I am really bummed out that I didn't get to meet this Wes character. I feel like I know him, but I like his spirit. I would love to have him around. I think he's still there, actually. I feel his presence. Holden, 50 years, crazy gift, community, fellowship, study, rhythms, renewal, a whole bunch of stuff. Many, many words could describe what Holden has been doing for 50 years. But one thing that I would like to lift up tonight, which we've just been doing right now, and we will do again one more time this evening, is we sit around tables and we eat together, we share a meal, and we commune with each other, have conversations, and that activity that happens in the Valley goes down the bus with everyone and continues on when they go back home. And I love tonight to make that connection to Christ's table when we meet for Eucharist, that once again we're coming around a table together in a building possibly or somewhere, that we commune together, and then we take that activity back to our homes and our daily lives. And we are aware that you are currently in the middle of a project to create a worship and creative space on the fifth floor. We got a little tour. It's just demo right now, so we look forward to coming back and seeing it. And we want to present you with a Eucharist set that was made in the village by our potter, Brad Meninga. And we chose the colors because we thought very Trinity-ish. And so we hope to, as you use this, lift up our partnership in Christ as we share communion in so many ways through the Eucharist and through the basic dinner table. And so, for you from Holden Village, and thank you.